We have Brother Byron Hatcher from the Cape Fear congregation over in Fayetteville here to speak to us tonight. I've known Byron for several years now. He too is a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching, a 2012 graduate, and he's been at Cape Fear since he graduated from the school. He's not only their preacher, but he's also one of their elders as well. He doesn't look it, but he's got two grown college, actually one out of college and one in college, and he's married. His wife could not be here tonight because she's teaching, but we're certainly glad that he's here, and I'm grateful that he's come our way tonight. Our series for the month of August is What Can I Do When? And we're going to address several different topics this month and looking at some things we can do to adjust and help our Christianity and what we can do to grow and some different topics in that nature. But tonight, Byron's going to cover What Can I Do When I Desire to Grow as a Christian? Well, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to him. I don't want to take any more of his time. Let's bow together. Our almighty, gracious, and wonderful Father who does ever dwell in eternity, Father, we are so thankful unto Thee for this day and certainly for the conclusion as we gather here together in like manner of faith. We are grateful for this opportunity and certainly for this month that we kick off our summer series. And Father, we pray Your blessings upon it. Grateful for Brother Byron to be here with us tonight as he speaks to us. And we pray Your blessings upon him and his work and for the eldership there and the members at the Cape Fear congregation, that their works continue to shine in that area as they always do, and we're grateful for their faithfulness and their steadfastness to the gospel. Father, we're so thankful for everyone present tonight. Pray that You'll bless us, bless our hands in all that we do, and thankful for the continued blessings that You provide for us and the successful works that we continue to do to try and shine as lights in this community and certainly to proclaim Your truths to a world that so greatly needs it today. Father, we're always mindful of those among us who are hurting and sick. We're certainly thankful and grateful for the continued success that Brother Anthony has as he continues to improve, that You'll be with him and Tishna and the boys as they continue to go through this process, and we certainly look forward to him being back with us very soon. And pray You continue to bless all those as well who are also sick tonight. Sister Carol, watch over her and be with her as we pray that she'll get better as well, Father. Continue to be with those on our sick list. Bless us as You always do, but most of all, we're so grateful for Jesus, for His love, and certainly for the life that He lived and the sacrifice that He gave at Calvary. Continue to walk with us as You always do, Father. Thank You for loving us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
All right, I always love to get adjusted here. At least it's not as difficult or as frightening as going to the chiropractor. But that's all right. Okay. Thank you so much, Larry, for the invitation for this great summer series that is beginning tonight, and for the opportunity to come and to speak to you. The Cary congregation certainly has had a great place in my heart, my life, for many, many years. And when I say many years, I'm talking about going back to when the Cary congregation, when the building was over somewhere else in Cary. Some of you old folks know where that is. I don't know where it is. That was so many years ago, I don't even remember. That's how long I've been acquainted with and known about the Cary congregation. And some of those Shambly folks, you know those Shambly folks? Yeah, when Uncle Tom and Aunt Sue got married there at the Avondale Church building, Decatur, Georgia, Uncle Tom, what's my relationship to Kurt? And, well, Tom's my uncle, but Kurt's his brother. We're friends. So that's my relationship to Kurt Shambly. Great topic. What can I do when I desire to grow as a Christian? And I hope that after our time together, that we will be able to take a few things and apply these things to our lives, and so that we indeed can grow as God would have us to as a Christian in doing. And I hope that after we are done, that we will see that doing certainly is necessary. We're going to spend a lot of time in Psalm as well. But first, let's compare then human growth to spiritual growth. What does it look like, of course, when a human being grows? Well, obviously, life begins at conception. That's when the soul then is placed within that particular body. That body might be one cell large, one cell, but it has a soul. It is made in the image of God. And so life begins at conception. And then from there, of course, one is then born after that certain 9-month period of time. Hopefully it's 9 months anyway. Born as an infant. Now, parents must take care of every need of this little one that God has blessed this marriage with. And so there's an expectation for this young one who is now born to grow, to continue to progress, and the joy that is brought to the parents in the growth of that little one. And then that little one who we so anticipated, him or her, they become teenagers. What happened? Well, we're so grateful that the teenage years only last about 8 years instead of a full decade, right? I think that happens for a reason, probably. But maturity. We expect then this little one to grow, to mature into adulthood, and then to, of course, begin that cycle of life all over again. And then what happens? The human body then begins to become more feeble, become more frail. It begins to break down. Why? When we wake up in the morning with groans, I know I look young. I know. I got my hair cut today. And yes, I did accuse my hair lady for putting all this colored hair sprinkled in with my hair on the floor. I guarantee you that. Sometimes it hurts to wake up in the morning. I felt that too. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. We become feeble, and then we die. That's human life. That is what we expect. That is the design that God has given for us. We begin life, we grow, we mature, and then we die. There are some similarities then between physical growth and spiritual growth. But there is one distinct and very important difference. Let's notice spiritual growth. The seed then is planted in the heart. The Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So there is a seed, and that seed, the Lord said, is the Word of God. That's the seed. It must be planted within the heart. And when that heart then thinks about, processes that seed, allows that seed to grow into a particular plant then, one becomes a babe in Christ. A newborn babe. Here is a new creature, Romans 6, verse 4. A new creature in Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And here we have 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. We are, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. We need to desire that sincere milk of the Word. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the churches of Galatia, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He equates their being wishy-washy. They're contemplating going back to Judaism. I labored like a woman laboring to give birth. I have travailed in labor again over you. Interesting. Why, Paul? Because that's the process whereby one becomes a babe in Christ. There's much energy. There's much time. Newborn babes need a lot of work. just like physical babies, how long can you leave an infant, a newborn baby, how long can you leave them by themselves? You get to do that? Here you go, I'll be back in a week. But sometimes that's how we treat spiritual babies, is it not? Let's come and worship on Sunday morning. All right, you go back to work and I'll see you in a week. That just doesn't seem right, does it? That doesn't seem right to me. We need to treat then our spiritual babies very similarly to our physical babies. They need a lot of time. They need a lot of care. They need a lot of understanding. You know, you have a 2-year-old and they're going to run around and get into everything. Everything. You know, they call them the terrible twos for a reason. And we have some Christians that are running around spiritually in their terrible twos, and yet we're going to write them off. We're going to just leave them in the pew. That doesn't seem right, does it? Babies need nourishment. They need care. They need understanding. They need guidance. Let's offer them those things. Let's be understanding toward them. Now, then we get to the difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm probably doing something wrong. I apologize. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's all right. So here's where we end our similarity. As we get older physically, then we progress to the grave. But as we, can you hear? You can't hear. Okay. Well, they're probably going to up it. They're here in a second. All right. Move it up. So as we physically, as we grow older, get more feeble, we are less able. But spiritually, then, as we grow older, we should become more able. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, there in the first 8 verses there, it is what? What is contained therein? 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 8 there. Qualifications for the eldership. Elders. Elders. Old. Mature. Why? Why are elders? Why are those more mature to enter into that office? Why not the 2 young men that you see on bicycles, maybe walking down with? Why can they not be elders? Because there is a process of spiritual growth. And the process of spiritual growth is the longer you are with the Lord, the stronger, wiser, more able you are to do those things that God would have you to do. To grow in the faith. And so we need to understand that there's a great difference. And the primary difference is just because one is older and feeble physically, we cannot treat those of the elderly as though they are totally incapacitated, because they ought to be at the pinnacle of their spirituality. And there is great value in that. We can learn much. And we ought to learn much. If we are not learning from those who are spiritual giants, then we are cheating ourselves in our growing as Christians. Now, let's go to a song. Let's go to Psalm 119. And I'll click it here in a second. One great individual of the Old Testament is that great king, David. What does he have to say as far as it regards growing and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to go about getting closer to his God? Let's notice then, first of all, Psalm 119. He wanted to delight in the Word of the Lord. Now, I've got just one passage up here, and then, of course, as you go along, you study a little bit more, you get more passages, so I've got those. Psalm 119. We're going to start with verse 16, but then we're going to move on from there. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. A statute. Something that is there to be seen, to be read, and to be followed. That here's a statute. In other words, you're looking up. Right, Larry? You're looking up. There's a statute. Okay. Not a statue, of course. A statute. The law of God is higher than we are. Let's continue on. Let's go to verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. That here's great guidance then. Verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Oh, here is where is the way that I need to go. Verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. People don't love the commandments of God. That thou shalt not. Is that how we ought look at God's word? Just a list of thou shalt and thou shalt not? You know, David did not look at even the Old Testament law as that, did he? No, he did not. And we need to look at God's law in that very same way. Let's skip down. Verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Oh, he's not going to be slothful concerning God's law. When I was young, and sometimes mom and dad, they would have to, you know, go on a date or something. I don't know. Do adults still do that, by the way? Yes, they better. Mom, dad, call the sitter, go on a date. And I remember the sitter would be driving up the driveway. And here's what mom would say. She would say, if the sitter tells you to do something, you do it. But what if she, no, when the sitter tells you, if she tells you to jump, you ask how high on the way up. That's how David looked at God's law. Lord, you tell me how high to jump. You tell me to jump and I'll ask how high on the way up. Okay, that's verse 70. Let's go down to verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I might, may live, for thy law is my delight. What's in the law? That's why we need to love God's law, because what is in the law is actually life. And then one last passage, 174. 174. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. We need to delight in God's law. To what degree? To the degree that we desire to grow in knowledge, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. We need to desire to grow. We have to want that. We are not going to have that desire to grow if every time we come into the building just to, here you go, I'm going to punch my time card, I'm here. Check it off on the box. Brother and friend, that is a salvation by merit. And that's not how this works. God wants you to want to be with Him. He desires that you want to be engaged in communicating with Him, first of all, through studying His Word. But there's much then that we can do in helping to get good Bible study in. Not just only reading it, but also studying it. What do others have to say? Well, read good, sound material that the Brotherhood has written, published. Brother Paul Sain has some wonderful material. He's got two things I'll mention that he has. He has a lot, but two that I really, really like. As a matter of fact, when someone comes and places membership at Cape Fear, we give them a ready reference for the Christian. I believe actually technically it might be ready reference for the new Christian, but really it's a ready reference for every Christian. And it's great material. Let's say you are, I think there's 100 subjects or so. And so let's say you want to know about prayer. Let's say you want to know about faith. Let's say you are struggling with depression or materialism, something of that nature. Then you go to the subject, you look it up, and there are various thoughts and passages then that will help you with that. Now, we give the book. There's a pocket version. That's good, too, by the way. But we give the full version. The full version in the back also has questions to ask your denominational friends. Or maybe someone's doing some door knocking and Jehovah's Witness come to your door. You know, well, what might be a good question to ask them? Well, you can go to the ready reference, and there it is in the back under Jehovah's Witness questions to ask them. Just a wonderful tool that Brother Sain has put together. Another thing I like is Brother Sain got, a couple handfuls of good gospel preachers. You might have been one of the authors of this. I'm not sure. The quarterly, you know what I'm talking about? Those quarterly daily devotionals. Oh, that thing is worth 100 times its weight in gold. Whatever today is, today's August the 2nd, isn't it? Okay. August 2nd, you open it up in the third quarter there's August the 2nd. There's your passage and it might be two paragraphs, 100 words probably. You're talking about 30-second read, but it gets that kernel of truth into you for that day. And those are so helpful. Brother Sain does a fantastic job with that. Read some of those things. Read good journals. Read other periodicals that the Brotherhood then has put out. Go to good websites. I cannot say enough about Apologetics Press and the good work that the brothers are doing over at Apologetics Press concerning Christian evidences. Listen, brethren, of course, you know where we are. We go every year, we take our young people every year to week two of Apologetics Press camp there in Jasper, Alabama. You know, so we travel 9 hours, and it has made a huge difference for our young people. A great example, we have this wonderful family. The husband divorced the wife. He's in another state. And so the single mother now has two teenage children on her hands here, doing the best that she can. And the oldest one had struggled with the existence of God. And so let's go to camp. And we went to camp, and she doesn't struggle with that anymore. She might struggle with some other things that we're working along, of course. But that is such a great thing for us. But anything that Apologetics Press then puts out, Brother Dave, Brother Jeff Miller, Eric Lyons, Kyle Butt, those guys are really, really good. I'm sure one or more of them have been here from time to time as well. We love and appreciate them. Attend gospel meetings, lectureships, and other times when the gospel is being preached. The gospel meeting is a lost art today, is it not? We used to have like month-long gospel meetings. Larry, probably before our time, by the way. Can't say I'm just too disappointed in that. But where has the gospel meeting gone? You know, there's a brother in Alabama, I love him dearly, but he made an unfortunate, at least to me in my thinking, an unfortunate statement. Oh, we built this congregation from 50 to 500 and we didn't have one gospel meeting. I don't know if I would brag about that. Certainly it might be the case that we might not do our evangelism, that is our person-to-person evangelism, through a gospel meeting. That might be the case. But I do know this, that when the gospel is preached and Christians come together and listen to God's word, they grow stronger. I do know that. Where is our desire? And listen, when I moved to North Carolina, I didn't know anything about the church in North Carolina. I mean, obviously, Uncle Tom and Aunt Sue lived here. Part of the family, Shangley family lived up here. But other than them being up here, I really didn't know much about the landscape, if you will, of the church. Brethren, you got to travel a little bit to get from one congregation to another here. It's not like North Alabama, Larry, where you trip over one, fall on another. We have a different landscape here, brethren. And you know that. I'm not telling you anything you do not know. But when you have a youth day, who do you expect to be there? Who do you expect to be there? When you have a gospel meeting, who do you expect to attend? I mean, other than yourselves, of course. Don't you expect the area congregations to support the gospel being preached? And well, you should. But from where are they coming? Well, it took me an hour, 15 minutes to get here from Fayetteville. And that, you know, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. You think that, I know I'm speaking that. Do you think that God is worth, and His hearing His word preached in a faithful way is worth a couple of hours on a Monday night? You think He's worth that? If He's worth all of my life, He certainly is worth a couple hours of travel time, isn't He? See, that's not even a question. Oh, we're too busy. Well, I better go on because I'll get to preaching. And I might want to come back from time to time. I might want to come back. All right. Let's draw near to His wall. God was David's sure defense. That's who He was. Every time David was in trouble, he was in distress, he was running for his life, quite literally on many occasions. On whom did he depend? He depended on his buckler, his shield, his wall of defense. He depended on God. The question is, do you and do I, do we depend on God the way that David did? Let's go over to Psalm 62. We'll back up from there. In verse 2, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Go back to Psalm 59, verse 17. Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Isn't that something? Even while David was running for his life. He knew that the king was after him, desired and sought to kill him. What is he doing? He's singing. But he knew he could sing because he knew that God would take care of him no matter what happened. Are we like that? Are we drawing near to God in prayer? Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Certainly, we need to do that. But gratitude must come first. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by or through Him. We must be giving thanks. The very first thing we do when we bow our head is give thanks to God. We have the ability to live. We have the ability to influence others. He has given us everything that we need. We have lack of nothing. And really, even further than that, He's given us a whole lot more than those things that we need. Many things that we desire. We could live on a lot less. We could. I can show you places I've been where people have lived many years on a lot less. I could take you to some trash heaps. Yeah, could take you there. You'd have to take a clothespin with you. But we could go. We could step over the open sewers if you want. Pictures are great. They're great. They're wonderful. There's one problem with a picture. No smell. No smell. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. Durian. Do I need to say anything else? Do I need to say anything else? Gratitude. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. The Lord said something very, very significant as it relates to leaning upon Him. And in what way? Notice what and how the Lord takes care of this. Mark 10, where am I? Verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The more I know, the more I know I don't know. Yeah. The wiser I am, the more foolish I become. Mama said, don't get too big for your britches. And that's more true now than it has ever been. And every day I walk on this earth, it becomes even more true. But we've gotten too big for our britches. I'm just telling you, we have. And when we do not come to this place as little children. Look, we need to become little children in order to gain entrance into the kingdom, but we need to stay that way as well. Every time I come to God, I can't be like that Pharisee, can I? Who prayed thus with himself. I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there. And why did the publican go to his house justified? He didn't even look up to heaven. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, he drawn near to his wall. We need to draw near to our wall. Is there something in there for us? Oh, absolutely, for we know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. We need to draw to his wall. We need to depend on his ways. Let's go back to the Psalms then. that bell means I have 20 more minutes. That's what Larry said, and I'm sticking to that. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Well, that's so simple, is it not? Why? Because when we go our own way, we go the wrong way. We go the wrong way every time. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. But don't worry, because God is not going to deceive you. How do we give gifts? We have our little ones and our grandbabies. And what kind of gifts do we give them? Do we give them great gifts? Or do we kind of skimp on them a little bit? Have you ever known a grandparent to skimp on a gift for a grandbaby? Have you ever known that? I guess it might have happened, maybe. Not the crowd I'm looking at, though. No. Well, God can outgive you, Grandma. I'm just telling you right now. He can and He does. Every day to His children. And so we need to depend on Him, because He always keeps His promises. That's not 1 Peter, that's 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, 8, 9. When God gives a promise, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And He's not slack concerning His promises. Some count slackness. Well, it's been a year, and He promised me that, so that's not coming true. No, He's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. But is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then finally, we need to develop in His will. And this is really where it comes to it, is it not? We need to do something. Yes, we need to get into His Word. Yes, we need to pray to Him. Yes, we need to depend on Him day by day. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the child of God is being painted for us. This is what every Christian should desire to look like. Is this tree that's planted by that river of water. That when it's time for the leaves to come on, leaves, there they are. When it's time to produce fruit, there it is. It never fails. It's always there. Storms, they come, they go. There's the tree. It's always there. That's how God wants His children to be. How do we get there, though? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have one. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And have such as need of milk and not strong meat. For he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat is for those who are of full age, even though who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do I grow as a Christian? I go from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. How do I go from milk to meat? I put God's Word into practice. When God says jump, I ask how high on the way up. I do. And so Christianity is about doing. Doing what? Practicing true religion. And we'll read this passage here in James 1, 22 through 25, and then the lesson will be yours. Because really here, We need to be doers of the word. And we need to practice. It's really all one and the same thing. James, the Proverbs of the New Testament. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, or bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's put into practice what God has for us in His New Testament, and we can grow to as a Christian. Thank you for your time and for your participation tonight. Attention. All right.